From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, and media. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Dave Brubeck is rehearsing for a TV appearance at a downtown Manhattan rehearsal studio. He and two students from the Brubeck Institute, a California program for budding jazz players, are running through a tune. Suddenly, something happens. And they're in waltz time. Later on, I ask him about it.
Where did that waltz come from?
Oh, it's from out of nowhere. I didn't know they were going to do that, but it worked nice because you had the waltz going on in 3-4 against 4-4, so it's a nice change. I hope we can remember it.
It's comforting to know that 45 years after his signature recording, Take 5, Brubeck is still a sucker for unpredictable meter in music. The celebrated jazz man is very busy these days, playing and also teaching young jazz players how to do it. Which is only right, since Brubeck learned an enormous amount at around their age from his teacher, who was, of all people, French composer Darius Milhaud. Brubeck took Milhaud's class at Mills College in a special tuition-free deal for GIs right after World War II. Milhaud saw all the new students in his class and said, "How many jazz musicians are there?"
And we raised our hands, and he said, "Wonderful. You must write your fugues and counterpoint and your compositions if you want for the jazz instruments."
And so they did. Brubeck's teacher had been thinking this way since the early 1920s.
Milhaud was a genius beyond genius. He was probably the first classical composer to use jazz in a piece called Creation of the World. Before anyone else, before Gershwin and other people. And right out of that class grew the Dave Brubeck Octet, which was really a wonderful group of talented young musicians.
Paul Desmond on alto sax, Bill Smith on clarinet, Cal Jader on drums, among others, with more than a nod to Milhaud. The music is the most peculiar paradox, highly influenced, sometimes uncannily similar to the work of the elder Frenchman, and at the same time completely innovative, giving something entirely new to American jazz. There's not all that much talk about the old octet these days, though that may change after Monday night, which is when Brubeck comes to Lincoln Center to play arrangements from the old book with a partly old, partly new group. Some of the original octet recordings, of which this is one, were made in 1946.
When I first recorded, you had to finish in 3 minutes. The recording was done on acetate and wax. If you went over 3 minutes, you had to throw the whole thing away.
Not conducive to the finest work.
The mind is a very funny thing. The freer you are from time disciplines, the better it is, because your analytical and your creative mind don't work together too well. And I love to be in the creative side and not be thinking about, I have to finish this tune on time, you know.
In addition to his new old octet and performances of one kind or another all over the world, Brubeck is also celebrating the release of a performance on CD of his choral work, Gates of Justice. It was written nearly 40 years ago, and the texts are a mixture of traditional Hebrew, the words of Martin Luther King, and other words as well. The orchestration is for percussion, brass, and jazz trio. Sometimes right up against each other. Brubeck was commissioned to write the piece in the late 60s, at a moment when everything, race, politics, religion, even music, was painfully polarized in the U.S. He believed then, and still believes, that art is at least one solution to our problems, and he put that conviction into the piece.
With Martin Luther King saying, "We must live together as brothers or die together as fools." You know, there's one little sentence that could change the world. You know, if we just pay attention to that one sentence, and this is what this piece is about. It's just speaking all the way through to tell us how to survive.
Meanwhile, back at the rehearsal, Brubeck and students Justin Brown on drums and Joe Sanders on bass, both in their late teens, continue to try to work things out and survive musically. That connection between the music world and the world in general is something Dave Brubeck thinks about a lot.
You've got to have so much discipline to grow into freedom. This whole nation has to have discipline and then grow into freedom. That's the way you do it. You just don't have random freedom if you're a jazz musician. You have to know all the rules and be educated.
Part of it, says the pianist philosopher, has to do with making mistakes.
Because if you make a mistake in jazz, or even in dancing, or in the theater, you don't make a face at the audience and throw your hands down and say, "Oh, I goofed." You cover that and you work it in to the next line so it isn't a mistake. And that is life.
If you work with the mistake and play with it, you might get a waltz out of it. And it all comes down to that. Brubeck's still working toward those sudden waltzes.
I love that waltz there.
For WNYC,
don't forget that.
I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.